الله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئة أعمالنا، من يضلل فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم. I begin in the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. I begin in the name of the one who deserves all praise. I begin in the name of Allah, who is your creator and my creator and the creator of everything that has ever existed. I begin in the name of the Lord, of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I bear witness on this Friday that there is no deity whatsoever worthy of worship except Allah, and that indeed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, his last messenger. And I bear witness that whoever Allah chooses to guide, none can misguide that person. And whoever Allah chooses not to guide, no talking, no evidence, no amount of time you spend with that person can guide that person. Guidance is with Allah and Allah alone. Recently, if you look at the state of the Muslims, you see, if you go from east to west, the Muslims are in a bad state. If you look at recent times, France has banned the hijab, a fundamental part of the deen. If you look at what's happening in Iraq, in Palestine, in Kashmir, what happened in Bosnia, in Chechnya, the world over, the Muslims are in a bad state. And many people have their own reasons for this. They say, it's the West, it's the kuffar. They hate the Muslims, the Americans, the British. But Allah tells us in Surah An-Nisa, verse 79, whatever good reaches you, it is from Allah. But whatever evil befalls you, it is from yourself. Whatever good reaches you is from Allah, but whatever evil befalls you is from yourself. The kuffar are openly humiliating the Muslims because we allow them to, because we have left this deen wholeheartedly. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam predicted this, and he said, the nations summon each other upon you as you call guests to eat from a plate of food. They will summon upon you. They will call each other together against you as people eat at a table and they pick up food. And the companion said, Ya Rasulullah, is this because we will be small in number? He said, no. We will be many in number like we are today. Many in number like we are today. But you will be like the frost on the sea and you will have wahan. And they said, what is wahan, Ya Rasulullah? And he said, it's hubbu dunya wa karahat al-maut. Love of this world and fear of death. Love of this world and fear of death. Today, we have many people who claim to be Muslims. A lot of us, we say, when we come to fill our forms, we say, Islam, Muslims, we're Muslims. But in reality, are we Muslims? The scholars unanimously say, without a shred of doubt, the difference between Islam and kufr is the prayer. The prayer, the salah. How many of us can say with our hands on our heart that we pray 5 times a day without any doubt? We have no right to call ourselves Muslim until we pray. It's the bare minimum. Many people think, this is it. I pray, that's it, akhlas, I'm a Muslim. It's the bare minimum. I study at this university. A lot of the students have just had exams. And I study economics. And for me to be able to sit my exam, the minimum I have to do is attend my seminars. Not even my lectures, it's my seminars. Whether I studied anything or not, it didn't matter. I had to attend my seminar. And for that, I was able to sit my exams. When it's planned, our seminar is the prayer. You have to attend the prayer 5 times a day without any doubt. No, you can't miss one here and there. To come once a week is not good enough. To come twice on Eid is not good enough. You have to pray 5 times a day, and this is the bare minimum. From this, you will add upon. From this, you will do extra good deeds. When we talk of Muslims, we look at those who have come before us. We look at those who come before us and we see, can we be called Muslims the same way they were called Muslims? When you look at the likes of Abu Bakr Sadiq, Umar ibn Khattab, Uthman Ali, all of these people, Allah's blessing and peace be upon them, can we really say we are Muslims in the same vein as them? Let's look at another youth of Makkah at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His name was Musab ibn Umair. And this guy, like most of us here, at the time, just before the Prophet, before he became Muslim, he used to dress in the finest clothes. He had the nicest clothes and the finest shoes. At that time, he used to wear Yemeni sandals. And this is like us saying today, I wear Gucci shoes or Prada shoes. You know, a lot of us say, yeah, I've got this watch and I've got that watch. How many of us can say this? I'm sure all of us can say, we've got some sort of designer label in our closet. All of us will easily say this. And a lot of us show and say to our friends, look, I've got this brand new phone. Or I've got these trainers. And look at my jacket. Or look at this and look at that. But this guy, who is known as the beautiful youth of Makkah, this well-dressed young man, he died at the Battle of Badr. And this beautiful youth, when the Prophet saw him, he began to cry. Because when he died, he did not have a cloth that could cover his feet and his head at the same time. This guy who had the finest clothes, the finest shoes, that his mom was proud of, when he died, and look at this day, he died as a shaheed, inshallah, as a martyr. He did not have a cloth that would cover his feet and his head at the same time. How many of us will be able to say that? You see people today buying the nicest coffin when they want to go. They buy a velvet interior coffin. You know? For what? Everyone's going to end up in that hole. Abu Hurairah related that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when Allah created paradise, He said to the angel Jibreel, go and look at it. And the angel Jibreel said, by your might, Ya Allah, by your might, where the hairs of it will enter it. And Allah said, go and look at the hellfire. So Angel Jibreel went and looked at the hellfire. And Angel Jibreel came to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said, Ya Allah, by your might, where the hairs of it will stay away from it. So we know this, where the hairs of paradise, where the hairs of hell, will go towards heaven and stay away from hell. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, go surround paradise with the most hardships, the discomforts, the things that are difficult, and go and surround hellfire, the things that are easy, the dunya, the things which the heart yearns for, the easiness. Now each and every one of us, let's look at our life. Are our lives more difficult or more easy? How many hardships do we face compared to how many easiness? Think about it. Alhamdulillah, we have a roof over our head. I can't hear gunfire. We're not worried about a bomb dropping on our head. We're going to go home and have dinner. We're going to have lunch. It's provided. We've got in our fridge. We open it. There's food. There's drink. We've got a nice double bed. Or maybe a single. We've got a bed though. Alhamdulillah. We've got nice houses. We're here. We're studying. We're working. What hardships do we have? Are our lives more difficult or more easy? Everyone make that decision for themselves. And ask, are we closer to heaven or to hell? The problem is that we see a lot of evil around us and we accept it. How many times do we want to see someone drunk and we say, ah, he's just drunk? We accept it, it's become a norm. We see the filth that's around us on the boards and the TV and we accept it, ah, it's the way of these people. Or we accept it, it becomes normal for us. We become desensitized to the haram that is around us. But in reality, we shouldn't. We should look at these things and say, astaghfirullah. Look at the way society has become. We should hate these things. We should hate these things with a passion. When we see something wrong, we shouldn't accept it. And that's with the non-Muslims. What with the Muslims? How many Muslims do we see that do things that are wrong? And how many of us stay quiet? We don't say anything. You go to any club in central London on a weekend, and guaranteed you'll find so many Muslims in there. You go to bars, you go to pubs, there are Muslims in there. And we don't say anything. Evil has become widespread and we don't say anything about it. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when the people see an evil and they do not change it, then Allah will cover them all with humiliation from Himself. Allah will cover them all. Not just the person who's doing the wrong, but everyone. In one day, just see how much wrong you see. And how much effort do we make to stop it? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us the analogy of the boat, of which there's two decks. And there's people on the bottom, and there's people on the top. And the people on the bottom say, oh, we can't have any air, let's drill a hole. And the people on the top don't stop them. They drill a hole and the water comes into the boat. And the whole boat drowns. The people on the top and the people on the bottom deck. Both of them. The group on the top aren't saved. Do we think because we pray or we fast or we do something for Islam that we're going to be saved and we don't stop other people from doing wrong? The famous hadith, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ told us of that village where everybody disobeyed Allah, the whole village apart from one. And the angels went there and they were going to destroy that village. They were going to destroy that village. And but they came back to Allah and they said, look, but there's one person who worships you day and night, Allah. Allah said, start with him. Start with that worshipper. Start with that slave of mine because he did not spread the message. He saw wrong and he did not stop it. How many of us will see wrong and how many of us let it go by? Within our own families, we say, there's a man. They'll start inshallah. Not yet. We'll give them some time. When is this time going to come? If there is one thing certain in life, and one thing I can say about every single person in this room, and every single person on this planet from the moment they're born, the one thing I can say without doubt, is that everybody will die. You can't say anything else about anyone else. You don't know how much money they will earn, who they will marry, what they will do in life. But you can say when the moment that baby is born, that baby is going to die one day. That child is going to die. Just like all of us are going to die. And how are we going to meet our Lord? Will we come with our good deeds? Will we come having made the maximum effort we could for this deen of Allah? Will we come just protecting ourselves? We wear this cloak. Yeah, I prayed. I fasted, I done good, but just for myself. I didn't give this cloak to anyone else. Allah says in Surah Rum verse 41, evil has appeared on the land and the sea because of what the hands of men have earned. That Allah may make them taste the part of that which they have done in order that they may turn back from disobedience. Evil has appeared on the land and the sea because of what man has earned. Because of what we do. Many nations before us have been destroyed because of their disobedience. Many nations. You look at Ad and Thamud, the people of Lut, they were destroyed. Allah destroyed those nations. What makes us think we're special? What can we say that we're special? Allah destroyed many people before us. And Allah replaces a nation with another nation. You think that the sins those people committed aren't being committed by our people? You think we're that good that our people aren't committing sin day and by night? You see, at the moment, the Muslims are in a bad state only because we have left the deen. And the non-Muslims, they love this. They know they can never make us say there's no God. La'udhu billah. They can never make us stay away from the deen and say we don't believe in Allah. But how do they achieve their goals? By making us stop practicing this deen. By stopping us from practicing this deen. Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 120, never will the Jews and the Christians be pleased with you until you follow their way of life. Say indeed, the guidance of Allah, that is the only guidance. And if you were to follow their false desires after what you've received of the knowledge of revelation, then you would have neither a guardian nor any helper against Allah. They will never be pleased with you until you follow their way of life. It doesn't say their religion. Don't think it says for us to become Christian or Jews, that's what they want. They want us to follow their way of life. And what is their way of life? To follow their desires. How many Muslims do you find? They follow their desires. When the time for prayer comes and they have something else to do, they go and do that. How many of us in our own lives, we have a decision to make. One that's a bit harder. And one that's Islamically correct. And something that will make our life a lot easier. We follow our desires. We follow our desires from what we see and what we eat and what we speak and what we eat and what we earn. We follow our desires. And if you follow their desires after what you've received, the knowledge of the revelation, which is what all of us have received. We know the knowledge of the revelation. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he completed his message. There's no iota of doubt. The message has been completed. The revelation is here. We have the Quran. We have everything there is to know. Then you would have neither a guardian nor a helper against Allah. But still, we follow our desires. After we have received everything. And Allah the Most Perfect says in Surah Al-Baqarah again, verse 217, and they will never stop fighting you until you turn away from your religion, if they can. They will never stop fighting you. And a lot of people think this is physical fighting. But know this, my brothers and sisters, that the head of the CIA, he said, he goes, the best form of war, the most supreme form of war, is when you're at war with a people and they do not know. Because we don't see people coming at us with guns and saying, leave your religion, doesn't mean they're not trying. They will do it through our desires, through the TV, through the music, making these ways possible for us. They won't have to leave this religion. In 1946, the Confederation of Christian Missionaries, they met at a place called Jebel Zaytun, the Mount of Olives. And they said, they had this meeting, and you can find this in their history books. They go, we try so hard in the Middle East to make the people become Christian, but it doesn't work. The amount of effort we put in and the amount of response we have is negligible. And the leader got up and said, he goes, do you think we send you to make them Christian? No. We just want them to leave their religion. Now let's have a look at ourselves. None of us would dare to say, I'm not a Muslim. No, they'll say, I'm a Muslim. I come from a Muslim household. My name is Umar, Muhammad, or Abdullah. I have a Muslim name. I have a Muslim family. I eat halal food. I'm a Muslim. Right? But are our actions those of a Muslim? Can we truly say we follow Islam completely? How many of us have diluted this religion to suit our needs? Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 203, O you who believe, enter Islam completely and do not follow the footsteps of Shaitan, because he is to you a dear enemy. Enter Islam completely. Not 1%, not 10%, not 80%, not 90%, not 99.99%. Enter Islam completely. 100%. And do not follow the footsteps of Shaitan. How many of us choose to follow Islam when it suits us? To some of us, Islam has become like clothes. When it suits us, we wear it. Come once a week, we turn up. See, I'm a Muslim now. But when we leave, we finish prayer. Some of us still have this thing of being a Muslim. The way we deal with people, our interactions, our transactions, the way we speak to our enemies, our neighbours, is this done according to Islam? Enter Islam completely. There's no halfway. Islam and Kufr. George Bush made that famous speech, because you're either with them or with us. You're with them or against us. When Islam and Kufr is either Islam, there's Kufr, disbelief. You can't be standing in the middle and when it suits you, jump one way than the other. Islam is supposed to take it completely. 100%. And to do this, we look at the example of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A lot of people say, yeah, I want to practice Islam, but there's no need to be extreme. You shouldn't be extreme. What's extreme? How many people say this? They say, yeah, it's practice Islam, it's okay, but don't be extreme. What's extreme? To pray 5 times a day? To fast in the month of Ramadan? To give zakat? To go on Hajj once in your life if you can? To forbid the evil and enjoin good? Is this extreme? When you see the Muslims oppressed, to raise your hand to help them, is this extreme? Then if it is, then no one's more extreme than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And frankly, I'd rather be an extremist. If I can live like the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we should all want to be extremists and fundamentalists. Everything else they say that we are. They indoctrinate us by saying, you shouldn't be like this. Why are you going to be like them? Be nice in the middle. Be Muhammad to the Muslims and Mo to the non-Muslims. That's what they say. How many times do you hear people say this stuff? How many times do Muslims change their name so they will be suited? How many times, come on, we all know something like this. It's become a joke. Oh, you who believe, fear Allah as you should be feared, and die not except in a state of Islam with complete submission to Allah. Allah says in Surah Al-Imran, verse 3. And die not except in a state of Islam with complete. Allah uses the word complete again. No halfway, no half measures, no 20%, 30%, 40%, 50%. Complete, 100% submission to Allah. part of the khutbah saying, you know, perhaps drawing some light to the state of the Muslims. But it's not all bad. You know? A lot of Muslims get upset and they see the state of the Muslims. They say, look at us. From east to west, we're getting oppressed, we're getting beaten. Why? When will the victory of Allah come? Allah tells us in Surah Al-Anfal, verse 30, they plot and they plan. And Allah plans. And indeed, Allah is the best of planners. So let them plot. Let them have their meeting. Let them do what they want. Let them try what they can to extinguish the light of Islam. But Allah is the best of planners. Alhamdulillah, halal. We know Allah is the best of planners, so we don't have to do anything. Yeah? No. Allah tells us in Surah Ra'd, verse 11, Allah will not change the condition of a people until they change themselves. So the victory is coming from Allah. Allah has promised us the victory. Allah is the better planet. Allah will give us this victory. But when we have to make some effort ourselves, when we change our condition, we need to come back to this being of Allah wholeheartedly. We need to increase our worship. And those of us who don't worship, to start worshipping. We need to start doing supererogatory acts. The fard, as I said in my first half, is not enough. If you want to be a good Muslim, it's like the student. You have the student who does the bare minimum. But the good student is the one who goes back and studies. The one who does more. The one who reads more books and reads around the subject. The good Muslim is he who does the extra acts. The one who does the supererogatory acts. The one who prays the sunnah and his nafkah, he does everything. And one good way we can is by having a healthy relationship with the Quran. Somebody once said to me, you should have a good relationship with the Quran. I thought, geez, this is what a strange thing to say. How do you have a relationship with the Quran? Because when you open it, you know it. When you read a page, you understand it. And you have a feeling for the Quran. Allah says in the Quran, Surah Al-Isra, verse 82, and we send down from the Quran that which is a healing and a mercy to those who believe. That which is a healing and a mercy to those who believe. How many of us have loads and loads of Qurans stacked up in the house? Loads of Qur'ans, nicely decorated, put up on high. But how often do we open those Qur'ans? Having the Qur'an in our house is not enough. It won't protect us. Opening the Qur'an and reading it is what will protect us. Learning from the Qur'an. These are words from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. Understand that. We have no connection now. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not here. The Qur'an. These are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord's own words. They are here for us to read and learn and contemplate. Aisha radiallahu anha was once asked, tell us of the most wonderful thing you saw on the part of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The most wonderful. Now imagine all the things she saw. She started to cry and she said, he got up one night to pray and said, leave me to worship my Lord. And Aisha said, by Allah, I love to be near you. And I love what makes you happy. The Prophet got up to wudu and prayed. He prayed and cried until his lap got wet. Imagine the amount of tears until his lap got wet. And he carried on. And he carried on praying and crying until the floor around him got wet. And when Bilal came to call the Adhan and saw him and said, Ya Rasulullah, why are you weeping when Allah has forgiven your past sins and your present sins and your future sins and paradise is promised to you? Why, Ya Rasulullah? Imagine this. The person, not like us, he's been forgiven everything. But still, he cried so much to the ground around him as well. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, should I not be a thankful slave? This night some ayah of the Quran have been revealed to me. Woe! Woe to the one who reads them and does not think. Woe. This is such a powerful word. We don't use it today, but imagine the implication of woe. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us the verse of the Quran, Surah Al-Imran, verse 190 to 191, and Allah says, verily, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and in the alternation of the night and the day, there are indeed signs for men of understanding. Signs for men of understanding. Those who remember Allah, standing, sitting, and lying down on their sides. And think deeply about the creation of the heavens and the earth. Those who remember Allah standing, sitting and lying down. What other positions are we normally in? Standing, either we sit or we lie down. And these are the signs for men to contemplate. When to remember Allah. When you stand, when you sit, or when you lie down. Reflection. Contemplate. sit down and contemplate the wonders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The gifts that He's given us. The gifts that we take for granted. The gift of sight. The gift of speaking. The gift of hearing. The gift of walking. The gift of talking. Of using our hands. We take it for granted. Ask a blind man how much he would pay for his eyes. Ask a blind man how much he would pay for his eyes. And then think, Allah has given this to us for nothing. Yeah, do we appreciate it? Extra deeds we should try and do. Start fasting, inshallah. This is good for the young people because it helps quash their desires, especially in the summertime. And you see lots of people who are half dressed. You know, quench your desires, fast. A lot of us think fasting is only in the month of Ramadan. Yes, it's a fard then. But do extra deeds. Fast now in summer. Look how difficult it is. But the more sacrifice you make, the more reward there is, inshallah. It goes hand in hand, as in everything in life. You work more, you earn more money. The more sacrifice you make, the more rewards you get, inshallah. So fast. And the good thing is, fast, inshallah, but make it regular. Because Allah loves the regular action. And on top of that, the money you would have spent on food, give it to charity. So look at this. Three rewards. Minimum for one action. The reward of fasting. The reward of the regular action. And the reward of the charity. Search for that good deed. In everyday life, search for that good deed. Compete the way Umar ibn Khattab and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq used to compete. There was a race against each other. They used to run, fight, they used to do everything to compete against each other. How many of us do this? We accept the bare minimum. And I don't leave in a bad, but know that if we are here, it's not a burden. If we are sitting here and we have to pray, it's not a burden. It's never a burden. It's a blessing from Allah. If you think, oh, why do I have to pray? Think. Thank Allah. Thank Allah that Allah has put this thing in you that you pray. How many people do not pray? It is because Allah loves you. Imagine that. It's because Allah loves you that He makes you pray. He wants you to pray. So be a thankful slave. Once the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after the conquest of a battle, they were getting the slaves. And there was a woman, and she was running around looking for her child. She's running, this mother, she's looking for her child. And the Prophet Muhammad told her, look at her. And then finally, she found her son, and she grabbed him and she held him tight. The mother embraced the child so tightly, and she started crying. And the Prophet Muhammad said, he goes, is there anything more beloved to that woman than her child? And the Sahaba said, no. Look in this world. Is there anything more beloved to a mother than his child? And no one can say yes. And say that love of the mother for his child is nothing compared to the love Allah has for us. So Allah loves us. He knows it. But it's us who go against His word. So it's not difficult, inshallah. It's not difficult. Have this thing, inshallah, that we will start. We will start. We want to start praying. We want to do extra good deeds. Because what's happening, it can only be changed by us, inshallah. Let them have their super weapons and their Star Wars program and their atomic bombs. We have dua. They invest millions and billions into these weapons. Their weapons of mass destruction. What we have to do is raise our hands. What is more powerful? Is there anyone who would dare to say that the dua of a believer is no more powerful than what they have? So this is how we can help. Make dua. Be good Muslims. The way we interact with everyone. Have patience. And end by making dua, inshallah. And may Allah forgive us for the sins that we do knowingly and unknowingly. May Allah forgive us for the sins that we committed in the past and those who came in the past and committed sins. May Allah forgive those of us who are here today and those who will come after us. May Allah give us the shade in the day that no one else has any shade. And may Allah punish the enemies of Islam. Amen. May Allah oppress those who are oppressing the Muslims. Amen. And may Allah guide us all to good. Amen. May Allah guide us to the straight path and the path of that of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Amen.